We are proud and pleased right now to be joined by the legendary Don Shula on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Don, welcome to the show.
It's good to be with you, Vic.
Well, it's something to talk with you just in a general context as the winningest coach in NFL history, Hall of Famer, but in a greater sense, the connection between you and Ohio, between you and the Cleveland Browns is so great. And let's start right there. I mean, you grew up in Grand River, Painesville High School, John Carroll University. Take me back to those days and how those influenced on the great career that you had as a coach.
Well, you're right. It all started in Grand River, Ohio, a small village, about 500 people. And then I went to Painesville Harvey High School and John Carroll University. And our coach at John Carroll, Herb Isley, went to every clinic that Paul Brown ever had. So our playbook in college was the same playbook that Paul Brown had with the Cleveland Browns. And after I was drafted by the Browns in the ninth round, I found that really was helpful to me, you know, as a rookie going in there trying to make the team. And my teammate, Carl Tassif, also, you know, John Carroll in Cleveland and drafted by the Browns, he also made it and ended up playing, I think, 13 years in the National Football League. So John Carroll had had a pretty strong team. We beat Syracuse that year, and that was a big upset in Cleveland Stadium. And Paul and I think his whole staff were there scouting Syracuse for prospects. And I had a big night, and Carl had a big night. We both got drafted by the Browns. It was amazing how things work out.
Yeah, a cornerback as a player and drafted in 1951, as you mentioned, ninth-round pick. Played for the Browns, your last time in the league in 57 with the Redskins. I know people do forget that you had a substantive playing career, but we know and recognize you as one of the all-time greats to ever prowl the sidelines. And I want to ask you, when did you know in your time as a young man in Ohio, Don, that coaching would ultimately be a path for you? Did the thinking go along those lines? How did that influence work?
You know, when I think back, all the games I was ever involved in on the playgrounds, you know, and team competition, I was always not only making sure that I knew what my responsibilities were, but I also wanted to know and make sure that my teammates knew what they were supposed to be doing. And I took it upon myself, and sometimes I wasn't too popular telling, you know, the teammates what to do or making sure they knew what to do. But it was just part of my nature, and I just wanted to make sure that we got it right and that, you know, we didn't make mental errors that would eventually cost us the competition. So that was very important in the way that I thought and the way that I felt and the way I prepared.
And that, of course, led you into a coaching career that started. You were a defensive coordinator for the Lions, 60-62, of course, head coach of the Colts, 63-69, and, of course, the defining really part of your career, your life, as head coach of the Dolphins and the tremendous success you had with multiple Super Bowl championships, the perfect season in 72. And what I love is how your connections, coach, to Ohio, to your background with the Browns, with Paul Brown, carried over there. Mo Scarry, your defensive line coach with you in Miami. You had a guy like Paul Warfield with you there. I mean, you're Bob Matheson, your connections with Ohio stayed with you all the way through your time in Miami.
Yeah, John Sandusky, another guy that I met when I was with the Browns and was with me all through my coaching career. You know, it's amazing. In 33 years, I only had two offensive line coaches. I had John Sandusky, and then when he got a head coaching job, I had Monty Clark. And then Monty came back to me, and John Sandusky both came back to me after they had head coaching jobs. So that was, you know, being able to teach the same thing over that long a period of time, I think really helped me in all the success that I had.
And as we visit with Don Shula, legendary head coach, Dolphins week, appropriate time to do this with the Browns facing the Dolphins Sunday. This current Browns team has a connection with you, of course, with Tom Heckert, general manager. You had Tom's dad, Tom Sr., as your personnel director in Miami, and you gave Tom, the Browns' current GM, his start as a pro scout.
Right, and you know, I knew that that he was well trained and and that he was going to do a great job for me. But you know, it's amazing how things work out, and I'm just so happy with everybody up there in Cleveland. Brian Wiedmeyer, I always said that if I went anywhere, Brian Wiedmeyer would be the first guy I'd hire and take with me. Right. And that's the kind of respect I had for Brian and the type of individual that he is. But they got a good start, you know, Mike Holmgren up there, and I just know that things are going to turn around with that kind of focus and that kind of determination.
Well, yeah, and I know so many people hope you're right, but I think agree with you that the reason for optimism definitely exists. And as you bring that up about Mike Holmgren, of course, the two of you worked closely together when you were co-chair of the competition committee. You worked with Mike there. And in another parallel, Don, the fact that he, like you, you took over a Dolphin team that really was in a shambles. You had to pull it all together, and you did so in unbelievable fashion. Mike Holmgren comes to this team a couple of years back to try to get this all in order. He's in his second season here with this regime to get a team that has, of course, gone a long time without being in postseason contention to pretty much do the same thing you did.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. And, you know, you surround yourself with good people, and that's what Mike has done. And he surrounded himself with good people, and then you got to give them the opportunity to do their work, to do their job. And, you know, it just takes time. You got to hire the right people, you got to draft the right people, you got to coach the right people, and then, you know, you'll see the results as they happen. But they definitely are headed in the right direction.
Coach, as I take you back to those Dolphin years and yet another Ohio connection with Larry Zonka as a focal point of that team, what was, because it seems to me as we look at football in 2011, it just seems like it's so extremely difficult to keep together the kinds of teams that you had through that glory time in the 70s with the Dolphins, with the rules that are set up to you know, basically turn players over in free agency to basically keep competition pretty even. In your day, you were able to keep a great team together.
Yeah, you know, the thrust of the National Football League is a competitive balance. And they want the fans to know that every game that they go to, they're going to see, you know, a great competitive game. There aren't going to be blowouts or runaways or that type of thing. But it's worked for the National Football League. And the thing that, you know, I was able to do is put together a core group of people. And I was fortunate, you know, I had great quarterbacks. I had Unitas in Baltimore, and, you know, Bob Greasy in Miami, and then Dan Marino in Miami. So
yeah,
that's, you know, pretty nice to have that kind of talent to be able to work with and to coach. And then you surround themselves with the best people so that they can do their job and utilize their great abilities.
And, Coach, in terms of that 17-0 season, which we still look at as the really the ultimate record or the ultimate accomplishment in this game that no one has yet matched. And, yeah, we had that close run with the Patriots, obviously, not long ago. But as I look at it year after year, it just seems to continue to grow. It is a mythical thing almost right now that you just wonder if anyone could ever touch it. How do you sit back and think about that achievement today?
You know, Vic, when you think about no team had ever done it before we did it, and then I think that was like 50-some years, and no team has done it in how many years since we've done it, 72 now, 30, 40, I'm going on, you know, 50 years again. So that tells you how tough it is to do, to, you know, to run the table and to have that kind of an accomplishment. So, you know, if somebody does it, I'm going to be the first guy to call that coach and congratulate him. And, you know, it, because of what a tough thing it is to do.
Well, and I love that. I love that you said that, because I think there's that perception sort of fostered by the, you know, ESPN or whatever, where the popping of the champagne cork is if this is something you're always celebrating when someone doesn't do it. The fact is you would, I would expect that of you, to be the first person to want to congratulate that coach.
You know, the champagne story, that is so ridiculous. People really do believe, I think, that we're a bunch of angry old men, and we gather and just root for that last undefeated team to get beaten. When they do, you know, we pop the champagne. I think the thing that happened is one year that last undefeated team got beat, and Nick Bonacani and Dick Anderson lived next to each other down at Coral Gables.
Mm-hmm.
And they went out in their driveway and opened a bottle of champagne and popped it and toasted each other, and they were too cheap to invite the rest of us to their party.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You mentioned, Coach, you mentioned Dan Marino and having him there and the incredible career that he had with you. Right now, Tom Brady, as you know, is on a real breakneck pace for passing yards. And the question comes up this week, after just 2 weeks into the season, his ability to perhaps shatter that 5,084-yard record of Dan Marino's. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, Brady is just a great, great player, and that, you know, they've surrounded himself with the, you know, the right pieces, good receivers, good running backs, good offensive line, and defense is always going to get him the football. So they're doing everything, you know, that they can to help Brady. That's a very good football team, and of course Belichick is a good coach. So I think that Brady has got a chance to do stuff that other people haven't done, and it'll be an interesting year to see how far he goes.
Big weekend coming up here for the Browns. The Cleveland Browns Legends is going to induct two new members. One of them, of course, Vince Costello, that you know quite well from the Browns and from your coaching staff in Miami. Give us a thought or two on Vince.
I'll tell you, he was always an exuberant guy and always a positive attitude, and just worked hard and did a great job of presenting it to the players and then making sure that they were doing the things he was asking them to do. And he was just a guy that was born to coach and enjoyed every minute of it.
Great stuff. Coach, enjoyed this so much, and very happy to have a chance to chat with you, and wish you all the best, and we look forward to seeing you down the line.
And say hi to all my pals up there.
I certainly will, and you have many of them in this building.